Tonight we're hearing from people who say that a Warrington police officer used his taser or mace when it wasn't necessary. Now their attorneys are demanding body camera footage. I'll tell you why coming up.
Plus, why it could soon get harder to have an abortion in North Carolina.
Temperatures are on the rise, but so are the chances for rain. I'll show you the newest timeline for showers and strong storms.
Then, kids and scientists partnering with NASA to collect data from today's solar eclipse. New at 7, hear from a researcher about how the eclipse could improve weather forecasting.
But first, right here at 7 o'clock, we want to begin with breaking news in Raleigh. A man is in the hospital after being shot on South Wilmington Street. We have a live look for you. Sky 5 is over the scene right now. Thank you for being with us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. No one is in custody. WRAL's Julian Grace is live at the scene. Julian, what else are you learning at this hour?
Ashley, we are still getting details coming in at this moment, but let me set the scene here for you. We are at Layden and Wilmington Street, and it looks a lot different right now. That's because detectives are working away here, trying to process the scene. Let me step out of the frame of the camera as I walk you through what we know exactly at this hour. According to the Raleigh Police Department, this all unfolded around 5:52 in this evening when a man was shot and rushed to the hospital. We don't have the condition of that man, but we can tell you he's alert and conscious. Let's go to video from Sky 5. We had Sky 5 in the air shortly after the call for help came in. Police are now trying to search for the suspect as they try to piece all of this together. As far as a motive is concerned, they're not releasing those details. But what we can tell you, unfortunately, this neighborhood is no stranger to scenes like this. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was a shooting less than a block away from this location. And I talked to one man who lives in this neighborhood, and he says he's been trying to do a lot to help those in this community. And he shares with me what he believes this neighborhood needs. You'll hear from him all new later tonight at 10 and 11 as this crime scene continues to be processed. Ashley?
All right. Julian Grace, live in Raleigh. Thank you.
I'm Matt Tallhelm in the WRL Live Center. The WRL breaking news tracker on the scene of a townhome fire in Cary. You can see the damage done right here, completely charred in the front there. And up top, you can see the firefighters cut into the roof to go after those flames, put those out, and to let the smoke out in there. I want to show you where this is in Cary. This is on Davenberry Way right here. This is Maynard Road and Chapel Hill Road, just outside of downtown Cary. So that's where that fire happened here. We do have some Sky 5 video flying over the scene earlier as all those firefighters rushed there to take and put out that fire. You can see the ladder truck there up on top of the roof as those firefighters went to put out the flames. At this point, we don't know if anybody was inside the house. We have seen the ambulances were able to pack up and leave, so it didn't seem like anybody is injured in this, but the WRL Breaking News Tracker will continue to bring you updates here in the Live Center.
All right, Matt, thank you. Now to another story developing tonight. A group is expected to address their concerns about a police officer's alleged misconduct and how it was handled at Warrington Town Council tonight. That meeting is starting as we speak. Sergeant Mark Oakley was fired last month after he was accused of using his taser when it wasn't necessary. And now a law firm representing several citizens there in the town, they're demanding body camera footage be made public. WRL's Destiny Patterson is live in Warrington tonight outside the council chambers. Destiny.
Well, Dan, that city council meeting is getting started right now, and we are expecting it to be busy with lots of people talking about their concerns and their issues with these accusations. Now, I spoke to some of those people ahead of tonight's meeting, and they say that they've brought up concerns before. That includes the NAACP, as well as people who have their own complaints about interactions with Oakley. They say that they want to see policies put in place to better address these issues when it comes to police misconduct. And they want to know why it took so long for Oakley to be fired. Attorneys say they've identified more than a dozen people with complaints against Oakley and the police department. So far, they've filed petitions to get body camera video for seven people. Six of them want their videos released privately. The attorneys filed a lawsuit to make one of them public. While Oakley was fired last month, some of them have stories dating back to 2020. The group is demanding answers from the council and the police chief as to how this has gone on for so long.
We are here today to do that, to tell their stories, and to recognize these victims. It is a shame that it took three people in a row being tased, including a young lady being tased, and her video to go viral for anyone to notice.
Dwayne Higgs says Oakley followed him home and used a taser on him before arresting him last year.
It's difficult for me to put into words from the emotional trauma. And we're going to stick with it and see if we can't get some justice for all, for everyone. And hopefully this change is about to take place in Warren County.
I talked to Oakley over the phone. He said, quote, "I feel that there are two sides to every story. I feel like the police side is not being represented at all in these proceedings. I am being misrepresented. I hope that the truth will prevail eventually." Now, I did receive the termination letter from Warrenton PD for Oakley. It says Oakley's actions, quote, constitute serious detrimental personal conduct. Now, the attorneys representing the people who have those complaints, they say that they do plan to take more legal action related to this.
All right. Let us know what happens next. Destiny Patterson in Warrenton tonight. Thank you, Destiny.
Police and the FBI spent the day searching a home in Fayetteville linked to two people missing for years. The house on Berrydale Drive is where Blake and London Devon lived before they were recently reported missing. We're told the search warrant is sealed, but sources close to the investigation tell WRAL authorities are looking for specific evidence linked to their disappearance. We're told both adoptive children were being taken care of by foster parents at the time of their disappearance. People who live in the neighborhood were shocked by the large police presence and circumstances surrounding the case.
The foster family, you know, might have something to do with the disappearance of the kid. Because, I mean, it just seems like covering up if you don't report it for, you know, years. A kid goes missing and you don't report it. It doesn't sound right, man.
We're asking Fayetteville police to see if there are any new developments after the search of their children's home.
A roadside memorial here taking shape. This is along I-440, where four people died in a wrong-way crash. This is a setup near the Capitol Boulevard exit. WRL's Chelsea Donovan, I should say, explaining what we're learning now about this crash days later.
Rows of candles and balloons sit along the side of I-440 near the Capitol Boulevard exit as cars whiz by. This memorial marks the place where four people lost their lives in a wrong-way crash early Saturday morning. Listen to Broadcastify radio traffic from around 2 a.m. Saturday.
440 westbound on Wake Forest Road. Be on lookout for a wrong-way driver on 440 westbound. Newer model sedan, unknown make and model. Same as traveling eastbound in the westbound lanes.
This is the aftermath of the wrong-way crash. Mangled pieces of metal. What's left of two silver cars. Raleigh police say a man was driving a Honda Civic eastbound on 440 westbound. There were two other people in the car at the time. The car that he allegedly struck had a female driver. All occupants of both cars died as a result of the wrong-way crash. Raleigh police say they are still notifying next of kin and thus haven't released the victims' names. Wrong-way crashes are fairly rare, according to the North Carolina DOT. They say in 2023, there were a total of 59 wrong-way crashes with 23 fatalities. From the years of 2020 to 2022, it was one of the deadliest on record. They had the highest number of wrong-way crashes in history with 206 wrong-way crashes.
Raleigh police have not said yet if alcohol was a factor in this crash. As far as the DOT, they said they did not use any of their wrong-way detection systems in this incident. Police are still in the process of notifying family members. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Let's take a live look outside. It was just beautiful today. Here's a shot of Sanford looking just like a gorgeous North Carolina town, doesn't it? So we do have some rain chances increasing over the next few days. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the Severe Weather Center with a timeline on that.
It's not a bad idea to have an umbrella before you leave the house tomorrow, Dan. It's just some scattered showers tomorrow, but as we see this system get closer to us later this week, rain and storm chances will climb. And Thursday is going to be the day to watch. Thursday has the best chance for rain and perhaps some strong to severe storms. So we'll get the Storm Prediction Center outlook with that level one or two risk out tomorrow. So check in for an update tomorrow for Thursday's severe risk. Tomorrow, rain chances at 50%. They drop a little bit on Wednesday before climbing Thursday. I'll have a closer look at the timing for this rain coming up and a closer look at some of the cool things we saw weather-wise during the eclipse.
Nice. All right, Kat, thank you.
A new 6-week abortion ban in Florida could make it harder to get an abortion in North Carolina. When the six-week ban takes effect on May 1st, North Carolina will be the last southeastern state where women can access abortion until 12 weeks. WRL Capital BR Chief Laura Leslie reports abortion providers here are scrambling to staff up to meet the need.
About one in five women in the U.S. last year who needed an abortion had to travel to get it. Many of them came to North Carolina. That's about to become an even bigger issue once Florida's new law takes effect. It's easy to see why Planned Parenthood considers North Carolina and Florida critical access states for abortion in the Southeast. Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Louisiana, Texas, and Arkansas all have complete abortion bans, with some very limited exceptions. Georgia and South Carolina have six-week bans in place. The only two southeastern states where abortion is currently available after 6 weeks are North Carolina and Florida. When Florida's six-week ban takes effect May 1st, North Carolina will be the only state left with access to abortion until week 12. According to the Guttmacher Institute, a reproductive rights advocacy group, North Carolina is already second in the U.S. for women traveling to seek abortion. Those travelers accounted for over a third of all the abortions performed here last year, resulting in two-week waiting lists for providers.
That is certainly likely to get worse.
Allison Kaiser with Planned Parenthood says they're scrambling to expand capacity and add appointments, but
we also know that that is not going to be enough to stem the tide of patients coming from Florida and from other states across the region, folks who may have been traveling to Florida prior to this ban going into place.
Meantime, abortion opponent Tammy Fitzgerald with NC Values Coalition says North Carolina's 12-week ban is out of step with its southeastern neighbors. She thinks voters here would prefer a stricter law, too.
I think there will be some pressure to move towards protecting the life of unborn babies as early as possible.
Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
We asked the major candidates for governor this fall if they would support stricter abortion laws in North Carolina. Democrat Josh Stein said that he would oppose any further restrictions. Meantime, Republican Mark Robinson's campaign says he would sign a six-week ban with exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. The 2024 total eclipse has come and gone. The celestial phenomenon only lasted a few hours. Ahead, the work that's just getting started now that the eclipse is over and how it could impact all of us.
Millions of people caught a glimpse of today's solar eclipse. People traveled across the country and some across the world to witness totality. Here in North Carolina, people could still experience a partial eclipse. And this astronomical phenomenon is not just an experience that's amazing to witness. It's giving scientists a chance to collect data and better understand the universe for hundreds of years in the future. Teams here in our part of the area are part of this major mission, which will also help to improve forecasting. Civil Air Patrol Captain Shannon Babb is leading the solar eclipse mission, and she's joining us now live. Thanks so much, Shannon.
Pleasure to be here.
So this is in partnership with NASA. Let's talk about who here in our area is involved and how some young students are being included.
So we got to partner with NASA's Globe Observer Project. This is a project that encourages members of our community to become scientists and collect very large data sets. So in this case, we had cadets between the ages of 12 and 21. We had over 125 of them across North Carolina that helped collect data for 6 hours during the solar eclipse.
So what kind of data are you looking into? And I'm specifically, of course, interested in some of the weather data and the forecasting impacts we'll see in the future from it.
So they ended up collecting some things that may seem very basic. They were tracking air temperature. They were tracking wind, speed and direction. They were also looking at clouds. And their data set is being used to understand how energy from the sun changes over the length of the eclipse. And this can be used to help improve long-term forecasting. So this is the data that will go into some of those big models that are chunked through supercomputers.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to seeing that. I know at RDU, we saw temperatures fall by just over a degree. NC State, some of the researchers there saw about a 3-degree difference. So, you know, there's also impacts to radio operations, some of the high frequency radios. So what are you seeing from that?
So what our cadets were tracking was a very unique phenomenon that affects the radio frequencies that first responders use to communicate. Things like your firefighters, your police officers, your EMS. They were looking at this phenomenon that is lovingly referred to as ghosting. And they were trying to figure out, why does the solar eclipse create these gaps in our communication, these ghosts in our communication? It's a question we don't know the answer for, but I can tell you some of the cadets in North Carolina captured the ghost this eclipse. And so hopefully we're a little bit closer to understanding it.
Absolutely. I have faith. You have a large team on it, and I'm looking forward to the findings. Keep us up to date when you get them. Thanks so much for being here this afternoon.
That is fascinating.
Right.
It is really cool stuff. There's so much to learn from events like this. So yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing all the studies that we see come out in about a year at some of these research conferences.
Just the power of Mother Nature and when we talk about phenomenon in so many different ways, right? This is so interesting and so cool that these students get to have this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Well, you know, hundreds of people gathered at Moorhead Planetarium today for the eclipse. It was a bright, sunny day for them in Chapel Hill. The planetarium had free outdoor activities for people of all ages, the live stream as well of the totality inside. We spoke with one man who took the day off work and traveled down from Hillsboro for the event.
Very nice. Students at Pleasant Grove Elementary enjoyed a rare opportunity to learn about eclipses as well. And the governor, Roy Cooper, was there, arrived at the school to share the experience with the kids. The governor says the event offers a great educational experience for children. And it is unique to see all the different ways that we saw this eclipse, whether you're collecting data or you're seeing it through the eyes of a scientist or through the eyes of a kid, which is kind of how I felt looking at it, Kat.
Absolutely. And you can see it through the satellite data as well. So a satellite is basically a camera that just orbits around the Earth taking pictures. And you can see this dark shadow that is cast by the moon here over Earth. And you see it moving right along the satellite loop. Pretty cool to see that, and a really nice event to see here locally. You know, we got to wait until the 2070s to see totality here in North Carolina, I should say. We are starting to cloud up, though, so it's a good thing the clouds held off today. Durham, more clouds showing up at this hour, 73 degrees. Some people out taking pictures at the WRAL Azalea Garden, 73. The azaleas in full bloom right now in the spring weather, and 73 in Fayetteville as well. Tomorrow, we do have rain returning to the forecast. Just some scattered light rain. We're not expecting downpours or anything like that. We should be dry in the morning, so try to get your jog in, your walk in early in the day. Tomorrow afternoon will be the best chance for rain. We're mostly cloudy, though, tomorrow morning. The clouds keep moving in tonight. We'll stay mostly cloudy, but dry through about lunchtime. There's a 20% chance for rain at noon. Once we get to the afternoon, this is going to be our best chance for rain. It's scattered showers. It's light rain that we would see across the area for the most part, and that should last through about 5-6 o'clock with just a 20% chance for rain after that. But the main part of the system that we're watching is still well to our west. That gets here on Thursday. And if we have a closer look at Thursday, we're talking measurable rain. This is the rain. It's going to help wash away your car with all the pollen on it and help bring some measurable rain to your gardens. Gardening starting here. And we're also going to have to keep an eye on the severe weather risk. So that's one of the concerns, is the atmosphere may be primed for some stronger storms. We've got to get a closer look at the high resolution model data on that, and that'll come in starting tomorrow. It's also going to be very windy on Thursday. Out ahead of this front, we're talking about the potential for winds to gust up to about 40 miles per hour. Still pretty windy on Friday as we start to see a change in our air mass on Friday behind this system. The good news is we're not going to see as dramatic of a temperature drop for the weekend. We're not looking at a frost or freeze threat behind this system, and I'm thinking we're pretty good to go for planting on the season. Once we get to Sunday, high temperatures are going to be climbing right back into the 80s, and the weekend forecast is looking dry. Thursday is definitely going to be the day to watch of the next 7. Dana and Ashley. Right,
will do. Thank you, Kat.
Still ahead, comedian Pete Davidson making another stop in the Triangle soon, when you can catch him live coming up.
All right, I'm going to get right into it.
Well, it may not look like much, but this gym at Rocky Mount's Booker T. Washington Community Center hosts hundreds of kids in eastern North Carolina every week for basketball.
And they're getting a nice upgrade. It is poised for thousands of dollars in updates, and it's getting that done by the city. Soon they're going to have a new court, new bleachers, a new HVAC system for the first time in decades. People say it's a space that's really just brought the community together for years. The project is currently out for a bid. After one has accepted the city, they do expect that work to begin within months. That'll be great. Let's take a live look at Dix Park tonight after what was a very busy and eventful weekend out there.
It's very calm,
yeah, it's
right?
Calm
once again. The park back open now after Dreamville Music Festival. The festival ended last night with J. Cole, the festival creator, closing it up. Last year's festival brought in $145 million to the local economy. Organizers predict record attendance this year.
It gets bigger every year.
Comedian Pete Davidson making another stop in Raleigh this summer.
The stand-up comic and Saturday Night Live alum is making a stop here on his prehab tour. His show is happening at the Martin Marietta Center for Performing Arts. It's on June 30th. The tickets will go on sale on Friday. Last year, Davidson performed a series of sold-out shows at Goodnight's Comedy Club in Raleigh. So nice that he's coming back.
Welcome
People
back.
Like him
yeah.
here. The knockout round of The Voice begins in about 30 minutes here on WRL.
And Goldsboro native, so talented, yeah. Tay Lewis, he's going to be taking the stage. So good.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, so this is a preview of tonight's show. Lewis will perform Nothing on You by Cody Johnson. Judges called the performance one of the best they have seen. The Voice airs at 8 tonight right here on WRL. And Dan, guess what?
What?
We're going to be chatting with him as well. So hear from him chatting with us tonight on WRL.
How exciting.
Yeah.
We had so much great musical talent from this area, huh?
I know. Wow. Hey, thanks for being with us
See
tonight.
You.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.